The Engastromyth squeaks, "Know thyself." A very, very, very long time ago, the people of Greece sought guidance at the Oracle of Delphi, a sacred place that hosted women known as the Pythia. These women, the Pythia, were engastromyths, priestesses and prophetesses who were consulted by laymen and lawmakers alike. These men desired the wisdom of Apollo, the truth of the future, and the comfort of diminished uncertainty. They needed an engastromyth, and for centuries the Pythia answered their calls.
A woman like that is not a woman quite. I have been her kind.
Engastromyth, Greek, from en, which means in, gaster, which means belly, and muthos, which means mouth. Engastromyth, its Latin equivalent is ventriloquist. But don't be misled. There are no dummies here. The engastromyth refers to the classical soothsaying phenomenon of speaking without appearing to speak, or associated with seers who acted as conduits for the voice of someone beyond the grave. Historical accounts of the engastromyth tell us that speaking from the belly is to speak the truth of oneself, the truth to come.
Sisters, your song bears a burden too weighty for the whole ears listening here in a well-steered country under a balanced ruler.
Inscribed on the archway entrance of the Oracle of Delphi is the ancient Greek phrase, "Nothai seauton," know thyself. Some believe that the command was first uttered by Apollo in response to Chilon of Sparta's question, "What is best for man?" This response, "Know thyself," served well the Pythia. Many people of the time believed that to know thyself means to know one's true self, and that he who knows himself knows all. The Pythia relied on the Greeks' belief in knowing thyself to aid the men in their translation of the message relayed to them by the Pythia. The men who used the Pythia relied on the message of the incorporeal and the medium of the corporeal to help them know themselves.
From the nadir they rise, their limbs ponderous with richness, hair heavier than sculpted marble. They sing of a world more full and clear than can be.
In his treatise on the engastromyth from circa 345 A.D., Saint Eustathius told his people, and those who have followed, that the engastromyth is no one exceptional in the spiritual or extrasensory sense, merely a woman out of her wits.
Worse even than your maddening song, your silence.
Upon hearing the query of the man, the Pythia entered a trance-like state to receive images sent to them by the gods or the dead. It was up to the Pythia to translate what they saw into language, to have the presence of mind to make sense and speak, to make the man understand, to be a poet. These women were not voiceless bodies, mere channels of bodiless voices. Yet despite, or because of the power invested in these women, they suffered.
O river, I see drifting deep in your flux of silver those great goddesses of peace. Stone, stone, ferry me down there.
In ancient Greece, the cultural perception was that the truth was in the other. Free men were ruled by logic, slaves and women by emotion. The mind ruled the body, and the body suffered the designs of the mind. Only through torture could the free men release the truth from the belly of its undeserving keeper. Truth and torture, torture and truth, the wedded bedmates of Western civilization. Alternately and historically, the engastromyth has been characterized as a soothsayer, a seer, a mystic, a medium, and a witch. From the beginning, she has been a woman. Perhaps she is woman.
I have gone out a possessed witch, haunting the black air, braver at night. Dreaming evil, I have done my hitch over the plain houses, light by light, lonely thing, 12-fingered, out of mind. A woman like that is not a woman quite. I have been her kind.
She is sacred and profane. She is mad, she is sane. What did she suffer to see? What did she suffer to tell? Not so very long ago there lived and died two women. Like the Pythia and the Greeks they served, these women believed in knowing thyself. These women were poets. When they lived, and even today, many people considered them mad, out of their wits. Many people believe them to be the sanest of all. Regardless, we see them as quintessentially tortured artists, having suffered either for seeing or not seeing the truth. Perhaps they were our Pythia, our engastromyths now gone, but still heard. Anne Sexton, born November 9th, 1928, took her life October 4th, 1974.
Her kind. I have gone out to possessed witch, haunting the black air, braver at night, dreaming evil. I have done my hitch over the plain houses, light by light, lonely thing, 12-fingered, out of mind. A woman like that is not a woman, quite. I have been her kind. I have found the warm caves in the woods, filled them with skillets, carvings, shells, closets, silks, innumerable goods. Fixed the suppers for the worms and the owls, whining, rearranging the disaligned. A woman like that is misunderstood. I have been her kind. I have ridden in your cart, driver, waved my nude arms at villages going by, learning the last bright roots, survivor where your flames still bite my thigh, and my ribs crack where your wheels wind. A woman like that is not ashamed to die. I have been her kind.
Sylvia Plath, born October 27th, 1932, took her life February 11th, 1963.
Lorelei, it is no night to drown in, a full moon, river lapsing black beneath bland mirror sheen, the blue water mists dropping scrim after scrim like fishnets, though the fishmen are sleeping. The massive castle turrets doubling themselves in a glass, all stillness. Yet these shapes float up toward me, troubling the face of quiet. From the nadir they rise, their limbs ponderous with richness, hair heavier than sculpted marble. They sing of a world more full and clear than can be. Sisters, your song bears a burden too weighty for the whole ears listening here in a well-steered country under a balanced ruler. Deranging by harmony beyond the mundane order, your voices lay siege. You lodge on the pitched reefs of nightmare, promising sure harborage. By day, descant from borders of habitude, from the ledge also of high windows. Worse even than your maddening song, your silence. At the source of your ice-hearted calling, drunkenness of the great depths, O river, I see drifting deep in your flux of silver those great goddesses of peace. Stone, stone, ferry me down there.
Priestess, prophetess, poet. She is powerful. She is accountable. She is body and mind. She is tortured. She is, more or less, truth.